The title of the sermon this morning is We Always Thank God. This is a special standalone Thanksgiving sermon. It's very important to parents that we raise grateful kids. We really, in America especially, I don't know about other cultures, but we really want our children to learn the importance of gratitude. We want our children to know how to say thank you when someone does something nice for them. And as they get older, we teach our kids about the all-important thank you note, that when someone does something nice for you, you be sure to send them a thank you note in the mail. We really want our kids to know gratitude. But this morning, I want us to ask ourselves, do we know about gratitude? Are we grateful? Are we good at giving thanks? And this morning, I'm not talking about giving thanks to other people. I'm talking specifically, are we good about expressing gratitude to God? That's the most important kind of thankfulness, is giving gratitude to God. As important as it is to know how to give thanks to others, it's so important that we learn to give thanks to the Lord for all that he's done for us. Thanksgiving is a wonderful holiday. Some holidays are kind of kooky. Thanksgiving is a good one because it reminds us to be thankful to God. But if Thanksgiving is just something that you do on Thanksgiving, then you've missed the point. Thanksgiving or thankfulness or gratitude should be an attitude, a lifestyle that we have all year long. And so this morning we're going to talk about the Christian attribute of gratitude, of giving thanks. Colossians 1:3 is where we're going to start this morning. Colossians 1:3. This is the beginning of Paul's letter to the Colossians, the Christians in the city of Colossae. And in verse 3, he says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Now, let me make three observations about Paul's thankfulness here. First of all, Paul thanked God often. He says, "We always thank God." Giving thanks was not something that Paul did once a year. It wasn't something that he did occasionally. Giving thanks was his habit. It was his practice. He was always giving thanks. That's something that should be the way that we live as well. We should always be giving thanks. Giving thanks should not be something that we do every once in a while. We should be always giving thanks to God. The second observation about Paul's thankfulness is that he thanked God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, thanksgiving or thankfulness is not merely about showing gratitude to others. That's important. Thankfulness is not merely the feeling of being fortunate, of being lucky, of being thankful. Yeah, I'm just thankful. You know, even atheists say, "I'm thankful. I'm very thankful this year." To who? To who? Thankfulness, biblical thankfulness, is about specifically being thankful to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then a third observation is that Paul thanked God when he prayed. He says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." Thanksgiving is a big part of prayer. It's an aspect of prayer. Many people, the only type of prayer they pray is prayers of petition. In prayer, in the most simple form is petition. It's just asking for stuff, requesting stuff. "God, I need you. I need your provision, your protection, all those things, your power, your strength, your comfort. I need your help, God." But a big part of prayer should also be giving thanks. The mature Christian has a balanced prayer life. The mature Christian prays prayers of confession, thanksgiving, adoration, and supplication. So let's talk about how we can imitate Paul here and how we can be more thankful to God. I want to make some different observations here. First of all, what is thankfulness? What is thankfulness? You may think you know the answer to that question, but I'd be willing to bet some of you are not that clear on what biblical thankfulness is all about. As I said earlier, the Greek word is eucharisteo. Eucharisteo. And it means giving thanks. Dictionary of Bible Themes says that thankfulness is heartfelt gratitude to God. expressed in response to his love and mercy. It's heartfelt gratitude to God expressed in response to his love and mercy. Another Bible dictionary calls it gratitude for blessings. Thankfulness is just gratitude for blessings. Jerry Bridges, Christian author, says, "Thankfulness to God is a recognition that God, in his goodness and faithfulness, has provided for us and cared for us, both physically and spiritually. It's a recognition that we are totally dependent upon him and that all we are and have comes from God." In my dad's prayer this Thanksgiving, he led us in prayer before we ate. And I remember, Dad, one of the things you emphasized several times in your prayer is that every good gift, every gift that we have in life comes from God. That's what thankfulness is about. It's recognizing that. And so let me provide three aspects of thankfulness. Three aspects of thankfulness for you to help you understand it better. First of all, thankfulness requires appreciation. Thankfulness requires appreciation. Now, to appreciate means to understand the true nature of a situation and realize why it's important or serious. To appreciate means to understand the true nature of a situation and realize why it's important or serious. Now, in our culture, when we say "I appreciate it," we usually mean "thank you." It's a synonym for "thank you." But really, appreciation is something else. It's something different. It really means "I understand the true nature of your kindness to me. Thank you." That's what appreciation is. I understand the true nature. I really see what you've done for me. I understand it. And so thankfulness appreciates or understands a couple of things. First of all, it understands the source of the gift. To be truly thankful to God, you have to appreciate the source of the gift. You have to recognize that every good thing in your life comes from God. Everything good in your life comes from God. One of my favorite verses is James 1:17. It says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So thankfulness appreciates that God is the source of anything good you have in your life. Your wealth, your intelligence, your success, your love, your family, your friends, your marriage, your salvation, your gifts and your talents, all of that comes from God. Appreciation is recognizing that. So thankfulness appreciates the source of the gift. It also appreciates the significance of the gift. Thankfulness appreciates the significance of the gift. Thankfulness appreciates the value, the worth of God's gifts. Now, the thing that makes God's gifts so valuable to us is that they're undeserved. All of God's gifts are undeserved. We didn't work for them. We don't earn them. I say this all the time at Church Acadiana. The last thing you should ever want is for God to give you what you deserve, or for God to be fair. We don't want God to be fair. We want God to be gracious. We want God to be merciful to us. Romans 6:23 reminds us what we deserve. For the wages of sin, the payment for those who sin, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I love the distinction that I've heard before between grace and mercy. Many of you have heard this. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. It's withholding that punishment, that judgment that we deserve. Thomas Watson said that if you wish to be thankful, get a heart deeply humbled with a sense of your own vileness. A broken heart is the best pipe to sound forth God's praise. He who studies his sins wonders that he has anything and that God should shine on such a dunghill. O Christian, think of your unworthiness. See yourself as the least of saints and the chief of sinners, and then you will be thankful. He's saying that to really be thankful, you have to appreciate the value of the gift And you have to recognize that means that you are completely undeserving of anything and everything good that you have in your life. And so thankfulness is about appreciation. It requires appreciation. A second aspect of thankfulness is that it responds with words. Thankfulness responds with words. Gratitude is not merely a feeling. It has to come out in our words, just as you have to verbalize gratitude to your spouse or to your parents or to your friends whenever they do something kind to you or for you. It's not enough for you just to feel gratitude. You need to express it to them with your words. It's the same with your relationship with God. You've got to express gratitude with your words. Psalm 109:30, it says, I will fervently thank the Lord, how? With my mouth. Yeah, I will fervently thank the Lord with my mouth. Thomas Watson said, our thankfulness is not to be a dumb thing. Our thankfulness is not to be a dumb thing. In other words, a mute thing. And so, how should we respond with our words in thankfulness? Well, first of all, thankfulness responds with prayers. Prayers. So as I said earlier, a big part of prayer should be thankfulness. That's what Paul did in Colossians 1:3. He thanked God in his prayers. Colossians 4:2 shows this relationship between thanksgiving and prayer. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, stay alert in it with thanksgiving. So devote yourself to prayer, to asking for things, to asking for God's help. You're completely dependent upon God, but don't just ask. When you ask, also give thanks for the things that God has already done. So we need to respond with prayers. Thanksgiving also responds with songs. This is another way to express it with our mouth. With songs, with singing. That's what praise and worship is all about. Giving thanks to God for his gifts. Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart celebrates and I give thanks to him with my song. So we give thanks with our songs, with our singing. And then it responds as well with advertisements. With advertisements. This is another way to give thanks with your words. Psalm 9:1 says this, I will thank the Lord with all my heart. I will declare all your wondrous works. So, King David, the author of this psalm, was saying that I thank the Lord through declarations. In other words, he told others what God had done for him. He told others how good God had been to him. So he was a walking advertisement for the grace and the mercy of God. That's part of gratitude to God, is not just thanking him with our mouth, with your words, not just singing to him, but also declaring to others how good God has been to you. This is what God has done for me, and then just tell them. It's a big part of giving thanks. And so the three aspects of thankfulness, first of all, it requires appreciation. Second, it responds with words. And then third, it reacts with actions. Thankfulness reacts with actions. Thanksgiving is very similar to love. It's not genuine if it's only expressed verbally. If the only way that you ever loved your spouse was by saying, I love you, that's not very much. Your love has to go way beyond words, like that song, more than words. The truly thankful person doesn't just say thanks, but he lives gratefully. You live a lifestyle of gratitude. We should live gratefully to God. Now, how do you do that? Well, thanksgiving, somebody said, leads to thanks living. Thanksgiving leads to thanks living. And one of the ways we do that, first of all, is that we have to be obedient. The thankful person is obedient to God. To say thank you and then live in disobedience is a walking contradiction. That's not a thankful person. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commands. If you love me, you will keep my commands. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus healed a man with leprosy. Some of you will remember this story. And he warned, Jesus warned that man. He said, don't tell anybody about the miracle. Keep it a secret. But the man went out and he told everyone. He went out and told everyone what Jesus had done for him. Now that man felt very, very grateful. And he expressed his gratitude by declaring what God had done for him. But he wasn't good at being thankful because he wasn't obedient. Ultimately, the thankful person lives a life of obedience. The person who is thankful for God's gifts is obedient to God's commands. Another way that we should act thankfully is by not complaining. God's people shouldn't be complainers. Philippians 2:14 says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Complaining and thanksgiving are opposites. Complaining is praising your problems. Thanksgiving is praising God. So whenever you complain, you're not just saying that God is not good. You're actually saying that God is bad. God has been bad to you. And God takes that very, very seriously. So we need to not complain. That's how we live a life of thanksgiving. Also, we live a life of thanksgiving by being cheerful. Cheerfulness is another way to act thankfully, to have a cheerful attitude, a cheerful demeanor. The Bible calls this joy. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. The thankful person is joyful, is cheerful. He lives with a song in his heart and a smile on his face. To be depressed or perpetually sad is to express sorrow rather than thanksgiving. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to be thankful. Now, there is a time for sorrow. When you lose a loved one, for example, that's a time for sorrow. So there is a time for everything. There's a time for sorrow. But the Bible says we should be thankful all the time. We should be joyful all the time. So there's a time for sorrow, but we need to be thankful and joyful in all things. And then thankfulness, another way to act thankfully, is to serve the Lord. Thankfulness serves God. In Mark chapter 1, I spoke of this story last week. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, and immediately her response was to get up and to begin serving Jesus and his disciples. That's what gratitude does. Gratitude to God serves the Lord. It says, God, because of what you've done for me, you've cleaned me up, you've saved me, you've changed me, you've given me every good thing that I have in life. Therefore, Lord, I'm yours. I just want to be your servant. I just want to serve you in any way I can, no matter how small, no matter how obscure. I just want to serve you. No matter how menial, I just want to be your hands and feet, Lord. I just want to give back to you. And so the way to show thankfulness is to serve the Lord. Now, why be thankful? I want to move on to another theme here. Why should we be thankful? The first reason is that it's commanded. Thanksgiving is a command. It's not a suggestion. The Bible says that we should be thankful at all times. Psalm 34:1 says, I will thank the Lord at all times. My mouth will always praise him. I will thank the Lord at all times. We're commanded to thank the Lord always. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our thanksgiving should be overflowing, the Bible says. Colossians 2:6-7, so then just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. Our thanksgiving should be in whatever we do. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It should permeate whatever we do. We should give thanks in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is probably the most popular verse on thanksgiving in the entire Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Excuse me. It says, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There's one commentator wrote about this verse. At all times, in other words, that in everything, what does that mean? At all times, in every situation, under every circumstance, before, in, and after trials, in bright days of glee and dark nights of fear, give thanks in everything. Another commentator said that this means to bless the Lord is never unseasonable. To give thanks is never out of season. Give thanks in everything. So we should be thankful because it's a command. How do we give thanks in everything? Even whenever you're going through a hard time, how do you give thanks? The King James Study Bible says, in every event or circumstance, the Christian is to give thanks to God for the good he can bring out of the event, even should the event be unpleasant. Thankfulness should characterize the Christian life in every circumstance, not thanks for everything, but thanks in everything. So let's say you just lose your job, which can be quite disturbing, but you can still thank God in that situation because you can say, Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do through this. I thank you because you've already got this planned out. You're going to take care of me. I thank you because you're going to work all things out for my good, that you're going to move me to something even better. And so we can thank God in everything. Stephen Cole, a preacher, said, we cannot give thanks to God from the heart unless we are submissive to his sovereign hand in our circumstances and believe that he is working even our trials together for our ultimate good. So it's a command. A second reason to be thankful is that it honors God. It shows great respect to God. Psalm 50:23 says, whoever sacrifices a thank offering honors me, and whoever orders his conduct, that is, according to God's will, I will show him the salvation of God. So thanksgiving honors God. It respects God. It shows him great respect. A third reason to give thanks is that it is well deserved. God deserves our thanksgiving. Why does God deserve our gratitude? First of all, for his righteousness. The fact that God never sins. He never does anything wrong against us. Psalm 7:17 says, I will thank the Lord for his righteousness. You can always trust that God, however he treats you, it's the right way to treat you. We can thank the Lord for his goodness. Psalm 106:1 says, hallelujah, that is, praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. God is good because he loves us. Psalm 107:21, let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. God is good because he answers our prayers. Psalm 118:21, I will give thanks to you because you have answered me and have become my salvation. God is good because he sent his son Jesus to save us. Romans 5:8 says, but God proves his own love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God is good because he's forgiven all of our sins. Psalm 103:3, he forgives all your iniquity. God is good because he's given us his word. Psalm 19:7, the instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. God is good because he's given us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. 1 Corinthians 6:19, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? God is good because he works all things together for our good. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. God is good because he's given us eternal life. 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that he himself made to us, eternal life. So we should thank God because he's good, because he loves us. We should also thank God for his nearness to us. The fact that God is always with you. He's always close to you. No matter where you go, no matter what you've done, God will always be right there with you. Even if nobody else is, even if you're all alone, God is there with you. I love this verse, Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a help always near in times of great trouble. God is always near. That's a reason why he deserves our thanksgiving. One more reason that we should give thanks is that it's beneficial to us. It's beneficial to us. Giving thanks is not just something that God deserves. It's something that's good for you. It's a good spiritual vitamin. Psalm 92:1 says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, Most High. It's good for you to give thanks to the Lord. How does thankfulness benefit us? Let me try to encourage you to be more thankful here. First of all, thankfulness or thanksgiving actually increases your happiness. It increases your level of happiness. All of us are on a happiness quest. We all want to be more happy. That's what we want in life. We want to be happy. Well, thankfulness makes you more happy. Many psychologists believe that we are born with preset happiness levels. Just as everyone has a different body, so we have different personalities. Some are sanguine, others have a melancholy streak. Dr. Robert Emmons of the University of California, Davis, has demonstrated there is one way to adjust those pre-programmed inborn personality settings. It's by developing the habit of consciously giving thanks in the midst of whatever circumstances we face. He said, quote, "We discovered scientific proof that when people regularly engage in the systematic cultivation of gratitude, they experience a variety of measurable benefits, psychological, physical, and interpersonal. The evidence on gratitude contradicts the widely held view that all people have a set point of happiness that cannot be reset by any known means. In other words, you can actually become a happier person in life by engaging in a regular thankfulness, thanksgiving. That's why people who go to church regularly are happier. Because every Sunday, you're getting together and you're thanking God for his goodness and greatness in your life. That in itself makes you a happier person. Unhappiness is caused by actually focusing on what we don't have. It's focusing on what's not right in your life, what's not just the way you want it. But gratitude is focusing on all the good things that you have. It's focusing on what is right in your life. It's focusing on how you have it so much better than you deserve. And so when you're thankful, you will be happier. Jerry Bridges says, gratitude is a handmaiden of contentment, that feeling that I'm just at peace, I'm happy. An ever-growing attitude of gratitude will certainly make us more content, since we will be focusing more on what we do have, both spiritually and materially, than on what we do not have. But contentment is more than focusing on what we have. It is focusing on the fact that all we have by the grace of God. We do not deserve anything we have materially or spiritually. It is all by his grace. And so thankfulness makes you happier. A second benefit of thankfulness is that it's a shield against worry. It's a shield against worry. How many of you know that worrying is miserable? Worrying is a miserable state to be in. How can you avoid worry? Thankfulness is one of the ways that you can avoid worry. It's a guard against worry. Worry gets you down during the day, and it keeps you up during the night. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, don't worry about anything. Okay, how? But in everything, through prayer and petition, so you need to pray, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The regular act of giving thanks, of counting your blessings, helps you to overcome and to resist worry. A third blessing or benefit of thankfulness is that it increases your love for God. It'll increase your love for God. You know, the most important thing in the Christian life is really all about loving God, loving others. It's the greatest commandment in the Bible, love the Lord. So how can you cultivate your love, stir up your love? How can you fan into flame your love for God? By being regularly thankful, by focusing on all of his benefits, on how good he's been to you. Psalm 31:23 says, love the Lord, all his faithful ones. We do that by giving thanks. It helps us to love him more. Another benefit of thankfulness is that it cultivates holiness. It cultivates holiness. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, in view of all the good things that God has done for us, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Worship and holy living are responses to God's goodness to us. So whenever we focus by giving thanks on how good God has been to us, it provokes holy living. It stirs us up to be more holy, more pleasing, more sinless in our relationship with God. Charles Spurgeon said, the heart must be alive with a gracious gratitude, or the leaf cannot long be green with living holiness. Gratitude leads to holiness. As well, another benefit of thankfulness is that it protects from pride. It protects from pride. Pride is one of the most difficult things, sins to overcome, because it's hard to see in yourself. Because obviously the prideful person thinks he's not prideful. But pride is essentially thinking too highly of yourself. And how can you avoid that? By being thankful. By recognizing that every good thing you have in life is not because of you. Every good thing you have in life is in spite of you. It's because God loves you. It's because God has surrounded you with people that love you in spite of your sins, in spite of your faults and flaws. And so by being continually thankful and grateful, you can actually overcome pride. Now let me finish off this morning with three practical suggestions for growing in gratitude, growing in thankfulness. How can we put this into practice? How can you become more thankful? The first thing I want to encourage you to do is to add thanksgiving to your daily prayer time. Hopefully you're having a daily time of prayer to God. You need to, so that you can have a close connection with the Lord, and you need God's help. You need to be daily asking God for help. So whenever you spend that time alone with God praying, I want to encourage you to add thanksgiving to that time of daily prayer. Don't just ask, but also spend time. And don't just say, Lord, thank you for all the good things you've done. Get specific. Lord, thank you for this and thank you for that. That'll help you to become more thankful. A second way to grow in thankfulness is to get into the habit of praying or of saying thanks before your meals. Anytime you sit down for a meal, some of you, that's several times a day. But when you sit down for a meal, say thanks. Not just for the food, but this is a time for you to thank God for his goodness to you and the different ways that he's been blessing you. Jesus did that. Whenever Jesus fed the multitude with just a few fish and a few loaves of bread, before he did that, he gave thanks to God. At the Last Supper that we were just talking about earlier, before Jesus broke the bread and handed it out, he thanked God for it. Before he passed out the cup, he thanked God for it. So take time to give thanks before your meals. And then I want to encourage you to grow in thankfulness. One more thing is I want to encourage you to sing to God with all your heart when we gather on Sunday mornings. Man, I would like for us to be a thankful church. And I think one of the ways you see that is in the way that we praise the Lord on Sunday mornings. When we praise God, it should be, our praise should be a total body thing. You should see it in our body language. You should see it in our facial expressions when we're praising God. But I want to encourage you to throw yourself into praising God the way that he deserves and according to the measure that God has blessed you. Think about how much God has blessed you. That's how much energy and passion you should put into your praise and your worship on Sunday mornings. And that'll help you be more thankful. Psalm 138:1 says, I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing your praise before the heavenly beings. I love that. I will give you thanks with all my heart. That's how we should give thanks to God, whatever we're singing, with all of our hearts. Luke 17 tells the story of Jesus entering a village between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered the village, 10 men with leprosy approached him and begged him to heal them. And Jesus did. He healed these 10 men with leprosy. And then they left. But only one man, one of the 10, came back to give thanks. Only one of the 10. Notice Jesus' response. This is not on the screen, but let me just read it to you. Luke 17, 17 through 18. Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" In other words, the one person who did return to give thanks was not even a Jew. So there's several important lessons in this story. The first one is that Jesus expects gratitude. Jesus said, "Where are the 9? Were not 10 cleansed?" In other words, Jesus expected their gratitude. They should have come back to give thanks, to say thank you. He expects that from us. The second lesson is that giving thanks is one of the ways that we glorify God. Jesus called giving thanks glorifying God. In fact, he said, "Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" So one of the ways that we give glory to God is by giving thanks, saying, "Thank you, Lord." And then the third lesson from this story is that giving thanks, being a thankful person, is actually rare. Only 1 out of 10 in this story returned to give God the thanks that he deserved. If you become a thankful person, if we become a thankful church, we will be in the minority. I want to encourage you, don't follow the crowd. You'll be different if you're a truly thankful person. Don't follow the crowd. Don't be like everybody else. Be a thankful person to God, somebody who lives a lifestyle of gratitude. Now, as we've gone through this, hopefully you can recognize that you fall short of God's standard of gratitude. God wants you to be a grateful person in all that you say, in all that you do, and you're not, are you? How many of you would say that after listening to this sermon that you measure up, you're just about as grateful as you need to be? Nobody would say that. Even if you think that, you would admit that. We know that we fall short. And anytime I give a sermon on a fundamental Christian attribute, like love or holiness or godliness or thankfulness, I wanted to do two things. Number one, I wanted to instruct you into how God wants you to live. But also, hopefully it will convict you of your unworthiness, that you are a sinner, and that you need the grace of God through Jesus Christ. You need the gospel. None of us measure up to God's standard. And so we don't get to heaven by being as thankful as we need to be. We get to heaven by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And so I know that you probably fall short of this, and you're a sinner. Put your faith in Jesus. Say, "Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need your forgiveness, your grace. Now help me, Lord, to be the person that you want me to be as thankful as you want me to be from here on out." That's what you do with a sermon like this. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and let's give thanks, and we'll close. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all the good things that you've done for us. And I could go on and on this morning about all your blessings, but we don't have time. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this church family. Thank you for the place that we can meet in this morning. And thank you for this reminder of how important it is, Lord, to be thankful, not just at Thanksgiving time, but all year long, every day. Lord, you have been so good to us. We have so many reasons to be thankful. Help us, Lord, to give thanks with our actions, with our words, with our attitudes, and to declare your praises to those people in our lives that need to hear that there is a God and that he's good. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.